Welcome to the Best of the Sports Shop podcast with Reese and K-Mac.
And I guess somebody on this show, I know it wasn't me, said that Dodgers are going to, you know, sweep them in four games and it should be over real soon. I guess whoever said
not that, today.
Maybe we didn't say it. Maybe we was talking around it yesterday. But Tampa Bay Rays had a lot to say about that. They defeated the Dodgers 6-4 to even the World Series at 1-1 behind strong pitching from former Durham Bulls, Blake Snell. I think we talked to him one time when he played for the Bulls. How about that? I'm pretty sure we did. I think we talked to him one time. And, of course, don't forget, this Friday and Saturday, and it's going to be really cool now because they're off today, so they come back tomorrow and Saturday. And you can ask if you're in Durham area, the Raleigh-Durham area, or the Durham-Raleigh area, which one, you know, people get confused about that too. You can go watch a game over at Durham Bulls Stadium, Durham Bulls Athletic Park. They're having a live showing of the games Friday and Saturday. So make sure you go check that out.
Yep, DurhamBulls.com. You can get your tickets there.
Oh, okay. So we just can't walk up there.
Right.
We got to have tickets.
Mm-hmm.
How much is this thing costing to watch a game that's not actually happening there?
I think it's free, maybe. Well, I don't know.
You just have to get your ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking you got to get your tickets.
Oh, okay.
They probably have assigned seats.
Yes.
Because, you know, they're trying to socially distance it. So they got to make sure you are just walking and sitting where you want to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go Rays.
I wanted to – maybe they should have a ceremonial first pitch. Somebody throwing out the first pitch over there.
Like you guys?
So I can go redeem myself.
Reese, was your pitch terrible?
Why are you assuming that, Jasmine?
Because you said a redeem.
Oh, so maybe. You want to redeem yourself. Maybe I want to throw a better pitch. Not saying my first pitch was not good. Maybe I want to upgrade.
The upgrade.
I'm not trying to come at you for your pitch. I was just asking.
It sounds like it. I mean, damn, we are 5 minutes. 5 minutes to the show, you're coming at my neck.
Jasmine, what's wrong with his pitch?
I was asking him. Apparently nothing. Apparently he has the best pitch in the world. Excuse me.
Nah, I just, see, wow, that's elite. Well, how you get there?
Doc, look, Earl Clayton Reese, Kershaw, that is.
You're right. I got a pitch like Kershaw after the sixth inning. In my first pitch. I agree with that. But now, Jazz, I didn't throw the best pitch. And just full disclosure, baseball is not my game. So,
yeah.
Never said it was. So, and I didn't practice, but most. L. K-Mac, you know, over there, like, you know, Doc Goodenor or somebody, you know, he threw his right down the pike. My ball made it inside the batter's box, but it bounced right in front of the home plate. So apparently when you do that, that's not a good pitch.
But the batter's box or the ballot box?
I tell you what, if you put a ballot box out there, he wouldn't have hit that.
I got to find one because some places, they're taking them up and get rid of all of them.
Yeah, it didn't go good. Well, and I suggest you not try that because that comes with prison time. So be careful.
Wow.
People that's been trying that.
Yeah. A lot going on in this country. And we 12 days away. Hey, I was so excited because I exercised my constitutional right yesterday.
Saw that.
And I went.
Yeah, I saw your picture.
Yeah, I went and voted. And I just felt so good about doing it.
Well, thank you, sir.
And if you haven't, you should go do it. It'll make you feel better. Trust me. Go through the process. And, you know, in North Carolina, you don't have to wait till November 3rd to do it. You can go do it today. Hell, you hadn't registered. They came back and told us yesterday. I saw they had a line of first time people registering for the first time.
And they voted. Same time, right there.
It registered and they voted at the same damn time.
So
you have no excuse. You have no excuse. You really don't.
None. None whatsoever.
Unless you just don't want to do it. And I don't understand why. I mean, I can't tell you what to do, but I just don't understand my mind.
Yeah, you can.
Why on this one,
we can all tell each other what to do. This one, we can tell everybody what to do. That's right. We can tell everybody. I don't care who you are. We can tell everybody. Now, you know what you have to do now, right, Reese? You know what you have to do now?
What's that?
Now you got to take somebody else.
Yeah. I'm willing to do that, too. Matter of fact, I saw what Uber or somebody, it wasn't Uber, but somebody's raising money to pay Uber to pick college students up or, young people up who are eligible to vote to take them to the polls who didn't have transportation. I saw that. So, So they said every hour on the hour they have to stop to tabulate stuff in the polls.
Yes, sir. We count every hour.
Yeah. So there was a slight delay. I'm like, what's going on? The guy told me every hour on the hour they count. I said, okay.
Yep. Every hour on the hour we count. Every hour on the hour we verify all of the ballots are being tabulated, and all of the transfers go back to the Board of Elections. So in case something catastrophic happens on that site, the Board of Elections already has the information, so nothing is lost.
So no funny.
No funny business.
Yeah. Ain't gonna be no funny business. Now. And every piece of paper in there is tracked, so every ballot anything that's ever printed, whether it be a mistake or be voided or what have you, everything is tracked. So ain't no funny business going on. I can't speak about other states, but I can tell you about this one. Ain't no funny business going on in here.
Yeah. I digress just a little bit, but for a good cause. So I do want to get back and let people know. If you didn't know, there was some awesome performances last night, particularly by Brandon Lowe, who hits two home runs for the Rays last night, and it went like this.
Here's a 3-1. And a shot in the left center. Back at the wall. It is gone. Lau has put the Rays on top as he busts out. That's pretty well hit in the left. Back at the wall. It is gone. Second of the night for Brandon Lau.
Okay, I'm sorry, Brandon. Brandon Lau, not low. My bad.
Bro.
We mentioned Blake Snell earlier, former Durham Bulls pitcher, had a big time game last night. Let's hear what he had to say on his team performing last night.
I just had a good game plan for these guys, and I was able to watch them game one, so it gave me a lot more input on what I wanted to do today. But I just wanted to attack them, make them start swinging, and I felt like I had a good game plan. So obviously not going to share too much because I'm probably going to have to face them again. But, I would just say I had a solid game plan and it worked, but we got to get better.
Yeah, he didn't even allow a hit until the fifth inning last night. Great game.
Yeah, he was throwing those BBs, man, big time. Again, game three is tomorrow night. And again, game four is Saturday. If you want to watch the game from the Durham Bulls Stadium, you can go to durhambulls.com to get tickets to check it out. And let's go quick into the phones right now. We have Mike and Carrie calling in early this morning. Michael, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, guys, I'm doing all right. But, it's kind of fall, and I miss baseball. I miss having baseball on, the playoffs, World Series and stuff. I really miss it. This COVID stuff.
Michael, you realize that was the World Series game on last night. Yeah,
right. Next thing you know, you're going to tell me the NBA had their finals in October. Yeah, right. And as I heard you guys talking about this voting thing, and when you all first set up the call, when you guys first went to a daily, you guys had that, all the callers had to pass a test. You guys asked them questions. You had to kind of show confidence. Like in Australia, you know, that you're not allowed to get on a golf course and hold things up until you pass a competency test. I mean, you know how you guys made me do that when I first started calling in. Nobody, don't you think we gotta have that?
Man, no, nobody asked you no damn question when you first called in, so stop that.
You said we're trying to bring back the literacy test.
You're right.
It's a competency test, not literacy. I wouldn't have passed the literacy, but the competency, I'm all over that. You know, and we ought to have a thing in this country where you need to be able to pass a competency test to be able to vote.
What are you doing?
I don't even know. I'm afraid to even that. No. To answer your question, Michael, no. We don't.
You don't? So you think you ought to be able to vote even if you're not competent?
If you're a citizen living in this country, yes, you can vote.
That's right.
Right, Michael.
Listen, you heard some callers on this show. You know, I know through y'all's head, some of you have been saying, you know, this person really shouldn't be able to vote.
Michael, we're fair and sometimes balanced here, so I don't want to hear that.
Hey, well, listen, this Nicholas G. Saban thing, you know, the stone being rolled away from his tomb. Do you notice that it was 3 tests?
Does
that number not mean anything to you?
Michael.
Uh-oh. Like the third day.
He rose on the third day.
Listen, remember that the evil one will perform miracles, like he will copy. He will copy the Lord and our Lord and Savior. He will try to copy his accomplishment. Nicholas G. Saban rose from his sick bed after 3 tests.
Oh my God!
The third day.
Listen, I remember when I voted for the first man I ever voted for, and he wound up. Early reports said he survived a gunshot wound to the head. I thought to myself, oh, my God, I voted for the Antichrist to be president of the United States. Y'all who support Bama need to be thinking about this.
Okay.
3 tests. Stone was rolled away.
Oh, my goodness. You killed
me. But there's an opportunity. It's not too late. Y'all can switch over. And Jordan decided right and light.
So you one of those people that call him Nicholas G. Satan? Are you one of those?
Did you say Satan?
He said Satan.
The number. Listen, he won't even have to change the monogram on his luggage. Think about that.
Oh my goodness! You know what? Sometimes it's
I don't know if it's
like a badge of honor that you guys hate on Nick so much or Alabama so. I don't understand. I'm like. What has he done to all of you that you just do not like the University of Alabama Tuscaloosa, the capstone of higher education?
You all do not want to wait. In the twinkling of an eye, it can happen. Do you really want to be on the wrong side when that happens? All I'm saying is, think. As Aretha said, you better think.
Reese, what do we do to them that they don't like us? We don't run the score up. We don't beat people by 75-3. You know, and you got another one coming up this weekend.
I don't know. Befouling the temple. I don't know what y'all did.
Okay.
And by the way, you notice Miami was runt after Nick had his time there. Miami was a perfectly fine franchise before Nick got there.
Michael, that's how you got
there. All I'm saying is y'all need to be thinking. That's all. I care about y'all. I don't want you to be on the wrong side.
Okay. All right, Mike. Apparently, we must be on the wrong side of this phone call today because I'm still trying to figure out what the hell you're talking about. But one thing I do, what's interesting, you did say he won't have to change the monogram on his luggage. You did say that. So I caught that apart, Michael, okay?
Okay, Grady. Listen, just make sure. I just want to see y'all on the other side.
If I'm Grady, K-Man must be Fred Sanford then.
No, he's Lamont, if you know what I mean.
Oh, he's Lamont.
Speaking of competency, why I gotta be Lamont? Speaking of competency,
what's Lamont's nickname?
You big dummy.
You big dummy.
I gotta go. It's Thursday. I got to go. We'll see.
Watch it. Jazz, do you have any clue what we're talking about?
Yes, I know what you guys are talking about.
I mean, I'm not trying to be funny.
I just barely know what you're talking about. I know the show Sanford and Son, but yesterday I had to look up who Grady was.
I ain't nothing wrong with that, though.
Look up Grady.
Look up Rollo. The whole crew.
Esther. Look at Esther. Mm. You know.
Oh, I think I know who she is. I think.
Yeah. My dad loved that show, man. But I think it came on Thursday nights. We was in front of our television, and we was pumped up.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
You remember this outstanding wide receiver for the NFL that was just going off for the Pittsburgh Steelers, major NFL All-Pro, a guy that was really unguardable if he was a defensive back. His name was Antonio Brown. Then, of course, he had a money issue with Pittsburgh and among some other things. So they got rid of him. Then he went to other teams like my Raiders, and he had a foot problem, had feet problems, really, with his feet.
Frozen feet. Frostbite.
Your frostbite. Then they cut him.
Are you sure you want to see it?
They cut him. Then he ended up going to the Patriots and some other teams tried him out, whatever. But anyway, of course, he had a lengthy amount of issues off the field and very troubled young man. But one thing you can't take away from him, he's an outstanding football player. Let's just put it that way. So he was suspended and by the NFL after so many issues he had. But guess what? He's eligible to come back after week 8, which is next week. And the Seattle Seahawks are positioning themselves to push to sign him. One of the reasons, because he's good friends with Russell Wilson and Geno Smith, quarterbacks for the Seahawks. And, of course, they worked out together this summer, as amongst other times that they worked out. So this is interesting. But a lot of teams are lining up to sign Antonio Brown. Good, bad, what do you guys think about this?
Good in the sense of, like, should this player be allowed to play again or what he'll be able to do if he comes back? Because I think those are going to be two different kinds of things. If we're strictly talking about Antonio Brown, the football player, and what he can bring to a team, I think this is a great move. I mean, obviously, there's a previous relationship there, and those are always necessary for easy transition into a new program. I think that with, you know, working out over the summer, clearly there was going to be some interest. So this isn't necessarily a surprise when Adam Schefter is, you know, breaking the news saying, hey, the Seahawks are interested. But not everybody, it's not only the Seahawks. I think that's probably the best place he'd probably go. It's a good thing if he's looking to have a job.
Let's not forget that.
Definitely. Yeah, it's definitely a good thing. I mean, mm-hmm. I think it's good for him. I am curious about the relationship with Russell Wilson. I wonder if Russell's been trying to help him work through his
comeback.
Yeah, his personal issues, some things he's been doing.
Help him find
God.
But
I think it's good for him. Well, I mean, you know, hopefully he had some form of God in his life before. But maybe he didn't, maybe he did. I don't know. But maybe he's been able to help him, you know, work through some of those and work to become a better man. And because he was already a great football player. So I think that was probably the least of his worries of what he had to work on. So hopefully it's a good thing for him. I think the Seahawks will be a good fit. I don't think they need any really additional talent because they seem to be playing pretty well. But hell, why not? Kansas City just keep adding people. Why not?
Well, yeah, true that. Yeah, it's funny. We mentioned Seahawks maybe the likely landing spot because keep in mind Pete Carroll's always kind of reached out to guys that may have had some troubles in the past, kind of like what the Raiders used to do back in the day. They brought Josh Gordon back on twice and still thinking about bringing him back for the Seahawks. So I'm not surprised to see that Antonio Brown maybe had to bet that way, but one of the teams that's interested in him.
So I have a question. Do you think the distraction argument for why a player is not joining a team only goes but so far? Like, if their talent exceeds their distraction, do you think, and not necessarily in this case, because he clearly got suspended. So he had issues when he went to the Patriots. And so
right.
Do you think that some of the teams, when they say, well, it's their distraction or we don't want distractions, that only goes so far? Or do you think that's a legitimate argument for somebody to say, oh, it's a, you know, Colin Kaepernick, that's a distraction. We don't want him on our team.
That's interesting. That's a tough one, because a little of both, because a lot of times if you're talented, they're going to do what they can to keep you or get you. Because everybody's trying to win. It's all about winning. You hear it all the time in that league. But at some point, people are like, well, the hell with you. I don't care. It really depends on what team it is, too. Because some teams have a certain culture. That's why I didn't think he's going to last that much in New England, because of a certain culture that they have up there. Yeah. But it's a toss-up, you would ask me.
Okay. I was just curious. I mean, when it comes to the players that, you know, stay in the news a lot for off court or field things, it's always an interesting look at, you know, whether something was as distracting, or does it matter if they're a certain level of skill or if they're this good? So just something interesting to think about, especially as Antonio Brown tries to find his way back into the NFL.
And people forget. See, a lot of people think it's where you go. Because, you know, we always see this thing about, well, no, Bob Kraft is not going to let you do that up there. No, you could do it somewhere else, but when you come to England, they shutting all this stuff down. Because people forget, not too long ago, Randy Moss was an issue with certain teams. And a lot of people say he was a bad teammate. He didn't want to do this, he didn't want to do that. And, of course, all that's somewhat subsided now. But for a point in Randy Moss's career, he was a bad guy. He wasn't a good guy. He came out to the Raiders. I guess Raiders take everybody. So he came out to the Raiders.
Came out to the Raiders. You need an NFL job, you can get on with the Raiders.
Yeah, right. I mean, you can be on one leg, you can go to Raiders. But my point is, they take everybody. But at one point, he was a bad guy. He wasn't a good guy, according to certain teams. Now, you know, he's changed all that around. Went to New England. They went undefeated regular season. Lost in the Super Bowl. Now he's in the Hall of Fame and everything is great. But
it's interesting. Interesting you said that, though. Let's think about that. If we go back to those, I wish we probably could pull some sound from some of those when he was a bad guy. This guy is in the Hall of Fame right now. So I'm curious. What was he doing to be such a bad guy? And this guy is a Hall of Famer in the National Football League.
Yeah, if you guys can remember, what were the things being said about him?
Or is it just because the media said he was a bad guy and a couple of disgruntled teammates got mad because he called him out? Or the coaches got mad because he called him out when they started losing? Did he become a bad guy?
Yeah. If I remember correctly, one of them, he did have some media issues, which is funny. He's in the media now. That's kind of funny. You think about that.
Mm-hmm.
He did. Some media guys say he was, you know, very, very rude, and you know,
mm-hmm.
I think he cussed a couple of them out. The other ones I know on the Raiders, his issue was he didn't want to run routes, certain routes, because he's frustrated with the Raiders because they suck, they lose a lot, so that's
right.
Why
uh-huh.
his issue he had with the Raiders, yeah,
right.
So
right.
Okay.
So it's always funny when because I've heard, you know, I've heard people say that before. You know, look at how Randy Moss turned his career around. I mean, what do you mean turn his career around? This guy's a Hall of Famer. What you bad? People were upset, and I get it. You know, whenever you're going through and teams losing, players like Randy Moss and others that are very vocal and extremely talented, they don't take kindly to losing, and they don't like being on losing teams, and they don't like being in losing situations. So rarely will they be a team player in a losing situation because they don't like it.
Wow. Well, two points, and then we're going to brains ass on 2 points. T.O., same way. Remember, I mean, a lot of people think about T.O. Terrell Owens. Think about him. Think about people were upset about how he his antics, you know, on the field and, you know, dancing with the cheerleaders back in the day. And that's why, and to be fair, that's why he wasn't a first ballot Hall of Famer before that,
right.
Because of that reason.
Because exactly some reporters said he was a bad guy, he was a bad locker room. I'm like, who told you that? Somebody that was on a losing team that he called out? I tell you what, unless it was another Hall of Famer that was in that locker room saying that, I don't want to hear it. I ain't see Donovan Knebb. I ain't see him up there.
Oh, come on, K-Mac. Hell, Donovan Knebb. I'll be in the NFL Hall of Fame for Donovan Knebb being a Hall of Famer.
But I'm just saying. But he's a great, he was a great team guy. He was a lovable. Yeah, but, he was a lovable quarterback.
Yeah.
He also sucked.
real quickly, though, and we're going to talk about, hopefully get on this a little more in the next hour.
These guys, great cash, homie.
Well, is Odell Beckham a Hall of Famer?
If he gets on the right team. Right now he's being crushed by with the ineptness that he's surrounded with.
He's being crushed. He went off on the sideline. People give him a hard. No, I didn't realize this. Maybe you guys called it. I missed it. On Sunday, he went off on the team and they pulled him out of the game, put him on the bench. He did something saying, no, seriously. Straight up. He threw his helmet down. I missed all this. He threw his helmet down. He was complaining. Yeah, and it's a sound out there too, Mike. We may get it for the second hour, for the next hour. But he just went off. Then he pulled this when they talked to him about it and they interviewed him. He said, well, there's other guys who have rings and they call him the GOAT. He goes off. It's people are saying it's just his passion. That's how he's trying to get his teammates going. Because, you know, Tom Brady went off on his team, you know, 2 weeks ago. Odell said he goes off. That means he's a bad guy. That's something to think about.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
From the basketball court at the University of Virginia to the classroom at UNC Chapel Hill, Dr. Deborah Strowman has it all covered. Now this professor and sports business entrepreneur is about to take you to school. It's time for Dishing It Up with Dr. Strowman and the Sports Shop on Buzz Sports Radio.
What's up, Dr. Strowman? How you doing this morning?
How are you?
Good morning.
Good, good. What you got for us this morning?
Well, I'll tell you. The World Series is in full bloom, and who's paying attention to the lack of blacks in baseball? This
Not
is
me.
Really, really bad. Major League Baseball now has under 8% black Americans. The NCAA, according to the New York Times in 2018, 4%. In fact, many HBCUs even have trouble filling out their rosters. Now, this is a big, big topic, so I'm going to try and cut it down to a significant number of reasons why. Segregation. So we don't have all black schools anymore, and so we have integration now, and of course, the great baseball players who are black, they get to play. They start. But the bench players, they're not going to be black. You can't have an all-black team at a predominantly white school. Number two, Title IX. Baseball lost the scholarships. So when we were very, very concerned, and rightfully so, about women's sports, women's participation, they didn't take the scholarships from all the sports. But they definitely took them from baseball. Basketball has 13 scholarships, football has 85, and baseball is what's called an equivalency sport, which means they get 11.7 scholarships to distribute roughly among their 35 players. That's NCAA Division I. And so very, very few players get a full ride. And many people say this is one of the biggest reasons, because young black men aren't going to have the dollars to pay for college. And then if they don't get drafted, they don't make it to the next level, you don't have the money. And so what are we talking about? Number three, economics. You know, in this country, we have a major wealth gap. The average net worth of a white family in 3 years ago was $171,000. The average net worth of a black family was about $17,000. So that alone puts young black players at a disadvantage. Under this umbrella of economics, coaches need to win right now. So they're going to pick more seasoned players. So that narrows the pool of who's going to be picked for high school teams and travel teams. And so when you don't have a lot of money to pay for that expensive travel, because baseball is expensive, you can end up paying somewhere around $4,000 to $5,000 to play in the winter. And we know that baseball rewards repetitions. Fundamentals are key. And so you have to play a lot. Now, you can work on your jump shot all by yourself, but you can't practice hitting a curveball unless someone is throwing it. And that means also you need a field. This is just, whew, late to the protest party. Major League Baseball was the last major professional sport to speak out about the George Floyd video. So people are watching, players and fans. We've got position segregation, just like we had in football. The only people who could be quarterback and offensive linemen are the smart ones. Well, that happens in baseball, too. The two most cerebral positions are catchers and pitchers. Positions that are proactive rather than reactive. And so you end up with black outfielders and black second basemen. And I've got all the stats on that. And guess who tends to be former pitchers and catchers? The managers. So black players are less likely to get a shot at that job. And then look at the executives. They largely come from a different pipeline, one that's even whiter, as in historically white colleges, where they have less than 10% of black students. Of the 29 Major League Baseball general managers, only 6 attended schools that were more than 10% black. So they're not even associating with many blacks. And as one former All-Star stated, if you're pulling all your talent from Ivy League schools and Ivy League schools have racism baked in, then your process has racism baked in. Mm-hmm. And then what about you all, the media, which is largely white? Only a half dozen black reporters cover baseball as their primary beat. And they're not talking about this. Reporters don't even ask white players about it. And so, in summary, I'll say that the decision makers at Major League Baseball need to ask themselves, as Preston Wilson stated, do you really want to fix it? And then the second thing I'll say is, so why is Black America, if they're paying attention at all, why are they cheering for the Dodgers? Because Magic Johnson is a part owner, and because of Marcus Lynn Mookie Betts, the right fielder for the Dodgers, who's Black, the only Black player on the Los Angeles Dodgers in 2020 Major League Baseball.
Wait a minute. It's sad. Now?
He's the only black player on the Major League Baseball. Yeah, on the Dodgers.
Are you?
Yeah, isn't this? Mm. This is a crisis. I've become good friends with Bo Porter, first black general manager for Houston Astros, also on the executive team for advancement of blacks in sports. And we've had conversations. He's been on my podcast. But young black boys just not playing the game anymore. This is a travesty.
Wow.
So that's what I was going to ask you, Dr. Stoneman. So facts aside and numbers aside, as a society, like, you know, as African American community, do we care? Are we being denied anything, or are we just not interested?
I think we're being denied. The system is doing this. It's pushing us out.
And came back to that, you can kind of gather that, like, when you're pushed out or denied, then you're discouraged, and then you put your attention elsewhere, maybe in a more welcoming environment or
that's
sport.
Right. That's right. I mean, think about, let's flip this on you.
Because that's going to be the argument. Yeah. Well, they don't want to play. Well, yeah, well, if you put all these systems in place for them to not play, they're going to look elsewhere.
Look at you all. Are you going to say that there's other people, other young blacks, and I'm making you all young, don't want to be anchors for a major radio station? Well, we could sit here, I know WREL, Capital Broadcasting, wouldn't say this, but you could sit here and argue, well, there's nobody else interested like Jasmine, K-Mac, and Errol. Nobody else wants to do this. They're busy doing other things. But it's about opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Wow. We're talking to Dr. Deborah Strowman. We're with her each and every Thursday. This is an interesting one because I'm going to take a different opinion, Dr. Strowman. So allow me, give me a couple minutes. I want to say. So Marlon Anderson is his name.
Yep.
Who comes on our show a lot. Haven't been on in a while. We've got to get him back going. He talks about the RBI program, which is something that's primarily put in place to get young black boys involved in the sport of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like the first tee for golf, really trying to expose it. Because obviously, baseball is a little different than basketball. You don't need a lot of money to play basketball, but you need a lot of money to play baseball with equipment, things of that nature. So you have a lot of people that look like us not getting involved because of socioeconomic reasons, if you will. But stick a pin in that, I'm going to go even further down the road. What always amazes me, and maybe because we don't have enough pool of people to pull from, but if you go and shout out to North Carolina Central and some of the HBCUs, but if you look at their baseball team, you know what their baseball team looks like?
It's white.
It's white.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And this is at a predominantly black school. So why are we trying to, again, it may be because the pool is not there. Why are we trying to promote our own in this sport as opposed to having all white players on our baseball team?
And so it goes back to scholarships. If you have a young man who's talented, who could hit a baseball, who could catch a football, who could dunk a basketball, and you go to the school and they're going to say, okay, this is the tuition and we're going to give you $2,000. And the other school is saying, we're giving you a full scholarship to play basketball. Mm. You're going to go play basketball. See, the system, the NCAA, by taking the scholarships away from baseball. So we talk about RBI, right? Reviving baseball in inner cities. Do you know what the budget is for that? About $30 million. Now, all of us on this call right now would be excited to have $30 million. But Major League Baseball earned more than almost $11 billion. Do the math. That's nothing. That's nothing. That's like if, I'll use another example. That's like UNC, Duke, and NC State deciding that they want to help have more young black engineers. So they start a summer camp and invite 30 people in from all across the world, right? You're not going to make a dent.
You're right.
Window dressing.
You know what, Dr. Strowman, let's go all the way back to the desire to play in the pipeline. So the assumption would be that the reason we see the numbers as small as they are, of course, there's a smaller pool of people to pull from. And we're saying that the pool is that much smaller because the opportunity for young African Americans to play the game of baseball is not there. Is that what we're saying?
Right, because you need a field, right?
Yeah, I mean,
you need a number of people. You need coaches, and then if the coach only, you know, if his or her pedigree is catcher and pitcher, I mean, it's a very, very, once again, perfect storm.
So is that because as a community, we don't care? Because as a community, if we decide that we want to have a church softball league, we'll have a church softball league. As a community, if we decide we want to have a peewee football league, field or not, we'll have a peewee football league.
Why do you say that's the case?
Yeah.
Why do you say that's the case? Like, if we want something, we have. Why do you necessarily think?
Well,
that?
Because I mean, just historically, there are other sports where I'm talking at a young age, providing opportunities, not, you know, as organized sports as you get into high school and middle school, you know, further along. But I'm talking about just as a young age, we're talking about young people playing the game of baseball or the game of football.
The conversation isn't about what we are providing. What the conversation is about, having the opportunity to get a free education by getting a scholarship.
Oh,
we're talking about college. We're talking about pro baseball. Yes, there are little ones running around. I mean, that's one of the first games you play, right? Kickball and a baseball slash softball and basketball.
Right.
Then
a little T-ball.
You can continue.
T-ball.
Yeah. You can continue with football. You can continue with basketball. The question is, what's going on with baseball? That's the question. That's the problem.
I find it extremely ironic, and you just gave me something. You just called attention to something that I wasn't aware of, but I did think about it a little bit. The Dodgers, one of the reasons why I somewhat cheer for the Dodgers, because my father and his generation cheered for the Dodgers because they had the first black player to play in the Major League Baseball. So if you think about that, and the fact of the matter here in 2020, they only have one person of color on the team.
Now, person of color, Latinos, that's a whole nother topic. But I'm talking about African-American
Brown.
Black. Yeah.
Okay. Well, they don't have a black, African-American black on the team. And that's
they have one, Mookie.
Yeah. Okay. Mookie. One. And that's my point.
Exactly.
One.
And historically, African-Americans pulled for the Dodgers because of them allowing Jackie Robinson to be the first black to ever play in Major League Baseball.
And definitely that is in the roots, the tradition of our people to cheer for the Dodgers because of that. But I'm thinking about most young people today don't know the history. Well, I'm not going to say all of them. A lot of young people aren't getting the history, the black history in sports that we need.
Sure.
We're not talking about this. And so what we have to move to is, what are they more interested in? Look at this data. Look at what's happening. How can you turn on the World Series and not see black athletes? How can this happen? And so I'm calling out everybody. I'm calling out the media. Talk about this.
And the breakdown between, and you talked about it, let's call it African Americans versus Latinos. Mm-hmm. I mean, because you have a lot of brown people, black and brown people in the league, but they're not necessarily African Americans.
That's right. That could be a whole nother session, segment on the exploitation of what's happening in these Latin America countries.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's a travesty of what's going on. But again, we've got an issue that we need to shine the light on more. Because it's very, very connected between what's happening in college and then what's happening in the pros. Talk about minor league baseball. You're talking about humping it all around the country for, $5,000 a season. And I know many young men will do that time and time again to get that opportunity to go to the next level. And that's wonderful. That's awesome. But we have to think about the bigger picture here.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Got a feeling we're going to talk about this one again, Dr. Stroven. That's just my point.
No, definitely. So. Last night, I was like, oh, wow, there's an Asian baseball player. I thought it was so interesting to see because I hadn't, I didn't know that before. I think I just saw him on TV. And I was like, oh, wow. And to completely miss the fact that there are, very few black Americans, I think that's a great call to kind of push for a more critical eye when looking at things, because I definitely thought, I was like, oh, wow, look at that, looking at the makeup of, baseball, but I completely missed. I mean, not that I didn't know, but I missed having that same sense of urgency, I guess, around understanding why.
And maybe that's by design too, Jasmine.
Yeah, maybe.
To take our eyes off of this.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. You dish your love this
but
morning,
if I
Dr.
know
Stroman.
What now I know NBA is saying. At the next level. The WNBA is at the next level, and I'm not saying that all the other leagues need to, do what they're doing. I would like them to, but come on, baseball. Come on. And again, do you really want to fix this? That's the question. Preston Wilson, former All-Star center fielder. He said it best. And we should not let them get off the hook. That's the one thing that we can do. We're not in the Major League Baseball front office to make these changes, but we can't let them off the hook.
It's funny, Dr. Strong. Yeah. We had a little bit the other day. Maybe it was Monday. maybe Tuesday. What do we need to change in baseball to make it interesting?
Yesterday.
Hell, maybe we need yesterday. Maybe we kind of missed the whole ball on that one because maybe it's not interesting because there's nobody that look like us. A lot of people that look like us as playing a sport, and maybe that's part of the reason why we think it's not as exciting. So anyway, good topic, man.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that the NHL, you know, that cold weather sport that blacks don't really, you know, pay attention to. Well, we're paying a lot more attention to the NHL than we are to MLB now because they have many more black players now. Yeah. Their diversity unit, their equity unit is doing an amazing job. They've got black executives. And look at Major League Baseball just continuing to turn the clock back.
Wow.
As always, we get a chance to dish it up with Dr. Deborah Strobin, and the day is no different. All right, Dr. Strobin, we appreciate you joining us today. And like I said, I'm sure we'll get a chance to talk about this one more time.
Oh, this
I guarantee you.
Please keep teeing it up. Thank you. Have a great day.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
UNC head coach Roy Williams held a press conference yesterday. And he had a few words to say. You guys get a chance to check that out? You guys get a chance to hear from old Roy?
We sure did. Roy. And there were a couple of players that were also made available for UNC's first media availability for basketball.
Mm. Okay. All right. How you guys feeling?
And one of the biggest takeaways is they're not just putting last season in the past. It's something that's actively on the fronts of the minds. And who we spoke to yesterday were the veterans and, you know, the seniors, Andrew Playtech, Garrison Brooks. So that's something they have obviously on the front of their minds. And even Roy, he says he's like, remember, he tells them about it. Like, they've only had 7 practices so far, but they are not putting last season behind them in a way of like forgetting it. So they're not learning from it. They are actively using last season as a tool to get ready for this upcoming season.
All right. Let's listen to Coach Williams as he, during his press conference yesterday.
That's 6 games we lost where the other team had the last shot and they made all 6. 3 games we lost where we didn't get a box out, and nobody in the history of college basketball has emphasized boxing out more than I do. So when we have 2 possessions in a row in practice last Friday when we don't box out, you darn right, I went absolutely stone dead crazy, and they better expect that until they've changed their behavior. So, I mean, we're the ones that screwed it up. And so, you know, if one of those guys was involved in a no box out and they get the ball score, you ought to remember that the rest of your life. I remember it every day. So I'm not against bringing those things up if it's because of mistakes. I don't walk out on practice and say, okay, guys, we stunk last year, so let's get better today. That's not what happened. But if we have the same type of behavior that hurt us last year, you're darn right I'm going to bring it up to them. And if I see them when they're 78 years old, I may still remind them of one of those box outs they missed.
Really, Coach? How about if I see you when you're 78? Oh, wait a minute.
Stop. Okay. Whoa, what are you doing? Stop.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, he won't remind people of, you know, their mistakes. I mean,
you think they're going to remind him that he didn't remind Armando to foul him? I think it was against it was against Clemson.
We can share the love, Coach. Don't be like that. Don't be like
that. No, I think that's important. I'm not saying you're going to just, like, hang last season.
Wow.
What? I'm not saying hang last season over their heads, like, in a bad way, and he kind of spoke to it. But definitely use and remind them, like, hey, this is one of the key things that we lost that game by. So let's keep this in our mind. Let's always, you know, box out or whatever the case is.
You don't think they realize that, Jasmine?
Yeah, but I think sometimes Well, I just think sometimes you might need a little reminder. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that he has to use last season to be like, "Ha, y'all suck, so let's run suicides or something." You know what I mean? Like, that's not necessarily what I'm saying. But I do think it's important to say, hey, remember last year against whatever team? This is what happened. This is how you can correct that behavior.
I wonder if we should remind him routinely at every press conference. Hey, Coach, you remember when you said that was the worst team in the history of Carolina basketball?
The least talented team you've ever had.
You think they had anything to do with their confidence and their level to perform down the stretch, and it took them a number of weeks to recover from that?
No, because before the season started, he said that scoring would be an issue.
Let me tell you something. There's a big gap between scoring is going to be an issue, and this is the least talented team that I've ever had in the history of Carolina basketball. That's a big gap.
I mean, how many different reasons do you, we sucked?
Yeah.
I mean, excuse me, we stunk.
You think we should remind him of that every time?
No, I don't.
Okay. I mean, he wants to remind him that they didn't box out till they 70. I mean, maybe we should remind him of that.
I mean, he was probably just joking about that part. Maybe we should just joke through this.
How about that?
I think he is using it as a tool.
It's the least gifted team I've ever coached. And
there you go.
There are no gifts. That's tough to hear.
Let me jump in because I hear all the commentaries on both sides of what you guys are talking about. But to KMS point, though, once you say that to anybody, you know, it's kind of hard to think you're going to be a pretty good basketball team. But unfortunately, he was right.
That's not his job, though.
But he was right about it. But I will say this. I mean, and I didn't realize that until I was listening to press conference yesterday that I started doing, because I hadn't done my deep dive into this team in terms of the players that are coming in. But I will share with you, though. League of Black is going to be better this year. He's going to be healthier. Garrison Brooks, right now, preseason first team All-ACC. Of course, and maybe MVP. Armando Bacot, he's going to probably – I'm not looking for big things for him because he's got some competition. He got some guys, 7-foot guys, that can straight up play. So when you talking about the new guys that are coming in, again, I haven't done my deep dive yet, but when you talking about Caleb Love, you talking about De'Ron Schaub and Walker Kessler,
mm-hmm.
these guys are straight ballers, and they're going to get some time. So I'm just excited as a Tar Heel fan just to see what Roy's going to do with these guys. Now, he has no excuse this year. They're young, but he got senior leadership. He got some veteran leadership with the guys I mentioned earlier. But he got some boys that can straight up get it. The young boys, they can get it done. And we'll see what happens. I'm excited about this team. I'm really excited about this team.
Yeah, I even think that when they were asking about their expectations, they all and that's kind of where it should start as well. But on the team, they feel like, oh, yeah, this team, like, they're going to do great things. So I think it will be interesting to see how everything shakes out, who's going to get those starting, you know, positions with the new guys. So.
But when we had the players talking about raving about these other players in the way that Garrison was talking about, you know, Caden Love and De'Ron and Walker and those guys and, you know, Puff Johnson. I mean, it's the guys that can straight up play basketball, man. Pretty good basketball players. So we'll see. We'll have to see, but I can't wait.
So the players from last year that weren't gifted, they're gifted this year.
Leaky Black would be a better player.
He was hurt all the time. I'm just trying to level, for my own educational purposes.
I'm just trying to make sure I understand.
Well, to answer, yes, a lot of the guys that we saw last year, they struggled significantly with injuries. And so this year you will get to see a little bit more from some of those guys that maybe you expected more out of last season, and Leaky Black being one of them.
So they're healthier this year. They were just as talented as they were last year. They're just healthier this year. That's what we're saying.
I think people develop. I would argue that Garrison Brooks was better than I thought he was going to be last year.
Mm-hmm.
Garrison Brooks shocked a lot of people last year. And of course, Leaky, we talk about all the time. Outside his injuries, I mean, I think in a jump shot, because he's shooting 300 a day, he said yesterday. Outside a jump shot, if he gets a jump shot and he's healthy, Leaky Black's going to be all ACC player this year, in my opinion.
Okay.
I said it.
All right. Well, I was just curious in seeing where we were because, you know, us as, you know, as Tar Heel fans, as we are, you know,
I'm not a Tar Heel fan.
You're not a Tar
Heel?
Oh.
But I'm objective. No, I'm a fan, but I'm objective. I mean, I have to be
fair. You're what?
Fair. No, I have to be fair and balanced, yes.
All right.
Ooh-wee. Fair and balanced, he said, about that, about Chapel Hill. That's a new one on me.
You've been listening to the Best of the Sports Shop podcast with Reese and K-Mac. Don't forget, you can download this podcast every weekday at WRALSportsFan.com, on our new WRAL Sports Fan app, and in the iTunes store.